a political candidate or organization would have one or two raffles stretched over time, and rather than filing monthly reports in order to meet the requirement, would only report at the conclusion of the activity. And that lifts the burden of monthly reporting on a raffle permit.
Right, in which the raffle was completed.
That's right.
Where are we here?
Middle of the page one, middle of the paragraph, page one, first paragraph.
Second sentence where it says, "A political organization issued a permit to conduct a raffle shall file a report with the department later the last business day of the month in which the raffle is completed." I think that meets the objection of the burdensome monthly reporting.
And this whole amendment number two deals with that, right?
Right, section seven.
Does it do
it? It would be substituted for section seven in the
page four.
In the CS.
Does it do anything else, Commissioner?
Nope.
Okay, then I would move amendment number two.
Huh?
He moved it.
Oh, okay.
I move Diane number two.
Amendment number two is noted on the copy. Is there a good deck yet? Okay. Number three, add a new section 18.
This deals with setting a penalty of perjury. B presently applies only to the filing of the application. This would expand the penalty applicable for a false statement to application report or other document.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Greenberg?
This is one of the suggestions I had. And needless to say, if we do this, then we don't have to worry about the amendment we just adopted. Which was mine. So I would move Diane number three.
It's written that the person does not need to be.
That's the requirement of perjury.
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, I'm confused again. We're taking out the old section 18?
It's in place of the old section.
Yeah, this is section 18.
Forget old 18, it's a new 18.
Right.
The old 18 doesn't seem to have anything to do with the new 18.
Well, because what they were doing was throwing it into a perjury provision in Title 43.
Right. Oh, okay.
So this
makes it its own.
Okay. Is there objection to the amendment number three?
Just for discussion, Mr.
Okay,
Chairman. Part of my concern is that it's easy to state this and then to put it on the bottom of the form. But the enforcement of it, I've got a problem with that in that it's not a sworn statement. Perjury has to be a sworn statement.
No.
You do it on your driver's license.
You do it on your driver's license, Robin. They changed that. If you make a false statement, you can suffer the penalties of perjury without necessarily having committed perjury in the common law definition. It's a penalty rather than a...
I know. They tried to do it on the fish and game licenses, too. I had a couple cases on that. Now, unless they've amended that law in the last 2 to 3 years here, there's a real constitutional question as to whether or not the person was aware of the fact that they were making a sworn statement at the time they did it, sufficient to give them the pause or cause, or whatever you want to call it, to reflect upon the severity of the penalty they might suffer by making a false statement.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
If I may, I think the problem with that, it's Diane Coleman, I'm with the Department of Law. I think the problem in that case was a problem with the form not giving proper notice. And here, the onus will be on the Department of Revenue to develop forms that do give the proper notice. If they don't, it's going to be the same problem, no matter what the law provides.
Right.
I guess that was my main concern, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, is there a
objection
to adopting new section 18?
Do you withdraw
your objection?
Yes, I do withdraw my objection.
We're bingoing.
Yeah.
We're operating off of a suggested amendments from the department that look like this. It says Diane.
I'm not sure.
Okay, the next amendment.
I got them now.
Four renumbers. 18 to section 19.
That should be eliminated now. That was taken care of by Max's amendment.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why it struck.
Right.
Forget
four.
Forget four.
Okay. All right, fine. Moving right along.
Amendment section 23.
Suggestion amendment number five, change to section 23.
This expands the definition of the qualified organization to include a domestic corporation organized under 1020 and 1040, a labor organization, political party. And that should include, in generic terms, everyone who would be eligible as a qualified organization.
Okay, this saves our, this solves labor union.
Right.
Yes, objection on the amendment for purposes of discussion. I had on my notes that on section 23 that we needed to add in churches.
That's 1040. That's 1040. That's religious corporation. Religious corporations can be formed under either 1020 or 1040, depending on the way in which the corporation.
That's all I was asking, it's been done then, under 1040, because in the original, we got 1020 and 1020 again, but no mention of 1040.
Right, we finally got that one straightened out, so it's got 1040 in it.
That's all I was concerned about. I have no objection.
Is that a certificate of authority, corporation, did you got that certificate of corporation?
That's the term that's used in the statute, the certificate of authority.
Okay, are there further objections to that amendment?
23 is enough.
Number five, Diane, number five.
Leave 25.
Yes, number five is adopted.
Number six.
Recommend we delete section 25 from the bill.
Right.
Is that still current?
Right, yes.
That's the one we just changed with this.
Right.
Is there any objection to that?
No.
Hearing none, section 25 is deleted. Section 26, what?
Well, this, what, the difference in section, or in amendment seven and what is in the bill is we're leaving in the statute 15200B because we just amended that one. And then, what is that number, 13?
Yeah, 13. Labor organization.
Labor organization is left in, and that's the definition of what a labor organization is. So we need to have it left in the statute.
Objection to that, number seven?
No.
Hearing none, it's adopted. And suggest that we delete the effective date from the bill. Do you object to that?
Why are we doing that?
Because you don't need to have a second vote.
You wanted it.
You don't need to have the two-thirds vote.
Well, I'm sure they, probably just because they need the 9 months, I mean, 90 days, so they're going to gear up on that.
Yeah.
We were just asked to consider deleting it at the last committee meeting, and it doesn't matter to us, so.
Clock's next.
You don't think that's okay with you?
Okay, the next amendments are on this page, it's got my fancy scribble on it. Nope.
Exactly, diagram for a new.
You're not so lucky.
Okay, I take it section 23 is.
That's already been taken care of, we just did that one.
Right.
Okay, now, section 24, if we add that, it expands the definitions, it makes a distinction between raffle, lottery, and pull tab, so that the raffle and pull tabs are not deemed to be the same.
That's good.
And the next one, section 25, would then define a pull tab.
Carefully, but why would you use the term raffle and lottery in the definition of the term raffle and lottery? But that is a violation of most draft.
That's the way the law is at the present time, and we just do not go around it at the moment. I think both Blacks and Websters. It's what's known as a tautological definition, but I don't think it's.
A rose is a rose.
Mr. Chair? Okay, I see that what you have done here, Commissioner, essentially simply adds definitions of raffle and lottery and pull tab game.
Right, but because they're in different sections of the Act, we need the two amendments.
I understand. You have not changed any of the language concerning authorizing permittee, commissioner, department, or operator, right?
Right.
No.
Okay, I don't have a...
Got that one yet. Still banging.
Does anybody else have any objections?
I love definitions. Did you just write this, or is there some definition somewhere?
Pull tab definition?
Yeah.
Yes, to the margin.
Pull tab's a pull tab, for God's sake.
Did you have to play someplace, or is it just... Okay, hearing no objection to the definition section to adopt it. Now, having done all that, did we cover all of the remaining...
I don't know what this is about.
We were asked to do that, and I'm trying to dredge up why.
Oh, this has proof of the operator.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't be felons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, let's get this one spread out.
We got one more.
One more.
Okay. Hayden just mentioned, too, that at the last meeting, apparently, which I missed, was something wrong with the way we...
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Randy, what is that?
It's a new amendment. You might expand it.
Mr. Chairman, if you would take a look at the... at the committee substitute.
The one that doesn't just write up and out?
Right. Take a look at the two short pages.
Well, remember that page? I think it's the third page.
Mm-hmm. What?
After having it had it explained by Terry Bannister, I finally saw what she had done in those short pages. What she had done in there is okay, except that y'all probably threw your long pages away.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, okay.
Okay. Why don't you explain this, Helen, since you know it?
Okay.
Wait a minute. Are we jumping into taking care of operators right now?
No.
No.
Okay,
no.
All right.
There's another provision we've added in here other than filling in the operator.
That's the short page. In first, second page underneath.
Okay.
No, but we're not using the short page.
But we're not using the short page.
Well, let's talk to your Hayden.
Well, we are using. Well, I don't know if I can remember what happened, but the long pages on that, on the bottom of page one, and all of page two and the top of page three, most of which is straight out of the committee substitute to the State Affairs bill. However, there was some concern about this, the language.
Local government.
Local government nearest to the location. And so all we did was, all she did, I think, was just make a few changes and then add in the definitions here a local. She defined local government and defined established village, which was something that we picked up from House Bill 360, which now had to do with. You told me to look at this to get some notes.
We worked on this in community and regional affairs. But what he's referring to is page 9, lines 21 through 36. And for the basically, what Representative Phillips and I suggested was that there be amendments defining local government and local government language appearing in here. Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, are you planning to move the bill out tonight or to just wait for the final vote until tomorrow?
I'll move this. My thought was to probably move it. However, I want to hold on to it in case members want to finish up that letter and see if there's anything else they want to do to it.
But I would suggest, given that, that I move the amendment, basically, it would be section 3 from the long pages, forgetting the short little pages, page 1, line 24, through page 3, line 4, and the additional amendments defining established village and local government on page 9 of the committee substitute, lines numbers 26 and 27 appearing, line 20 through line 26, giving the department also enough chance to review this overnight and let us know if they have a problem.
Wait a minute, before you do that,
Mm-hmm.
We're in conflict on the numbering of the definitions.
They'll have to renumber.
Subject to renumbering. We don't have any problem with that amendment.
That's right.
And I would ask staff to work with your staff, too, to make sure that this is...
Did that ensure the notifying local government as well as the definition?
Yeah, that, the notifications on the first two or three pages.
You guys have made a wonderful deal.
We aren't done yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Now, you had one other amendment.
Yes.
This one.
Mr. Chair, this came out from the same person from whom you received this letter. In my conversations with him, we saw one kind of semantic omission, really. We need to add in the operator on the proof necessary to qualify for a permit so that we can have parameters on who, what people can get operator's permits. For instance, no convicted felons, no financial interests outside of... I should just read it to you, actually.
You got it right here.
Has ever been convicted of a felony? Mm-hmm. Is it all there?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're just talking about adding or an operator in those places.
Okay. Do members have a problem with this?
How are you going to get that information?
Thank you.
Make them apply.
When they apply for their permit to operate?
When they apply for a permit to operate, they're going to fill out a thing that says, I are not one. Now, how do you verify that?
We have a little computer.
But don't you have to have their authorization to do a background check on them before you can run the computer? You may be running it right now, but what I'm saying is I think you may need something in writing from them granting you the authority to do that.
That's fine. I'm sure they will, because otherwise they won't get...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That it, maybe...
We will double-check that, and if it's required, it'll be on the application.
In your regs, or...?
Yes, on the application.
Okay.
I just want to
we'll
make
leave
sure.
I'm still not
I just want to make sure you're covered.
Can you get fingerprints?
Do you have access?
Yeah, just prick my interest on that.
Yeah, me too. Our investigator has access. I know he's done checks, background checks on people.
He has access to whatever it's called?
Ages.
Now, I don't know which one. I can't speak on his behalf on that. I know he's done background checks on a couple
he's
of operators.
The troopers or something.
I'd like to know under what authority he's doing.
I can always ask.
Maybe he just calls the prosecutor's office and gets it out.
That's possible. That's very possible, Don.
I'd like to know that. We got another bill in this committee on that. No. That system, and we should have access to it.
In fact, I think it's very interesting.
If there was ever a place that I think we need to have a strong background check legislation, it's right here on who's going to be doing these operations.
Absolutely.
In Anchorage, I guarantee. And that includes him and all his employees, except the guy sweeping up.
Maybe him.
And maybe him. Unless they live in District 11.
With respect to the amendment, I have two questions. First of all, in sub B2, has a prohibited financial interest as defined in regulations. What is a prohibited financial interest? And secondly, if it's defined in regulations, I hesitate not to define something as important as that in the bill itself.
In the operation activities.
While they're looking it up, I will throw in that this has been here before for the permittees, so that you couldn't have a vested financial interest in the outcome of the game if you're running it for a charitable organization. That would still stand for the permittee. As far as the operator, they're going to be making their salary.
Do you have the copy of the regs? Are you reading the regs?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I never can find anything in this class.
I think what they're trying to do is keep them from organizing by church and the beloved villains.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Regs refer to having a direct financial interest in the operation of the games or contests, but that appears to be all the further it goes, which you're right, it's directed at
permittees,
yeah, mm-hmm. Which means these will have to be amended if this bill is passed.
What is everybody's feeling about allowing something like this to be defined in regs rather than putting it in the statute? I don't have a problem with what you're saying.
I think it ought to be in the statute.
Yeah, I think it should be in the statute too, frankly. And also in sub C, it says you may not issue a permit for an activity operated by a person who's been convicted of a felony or gambling misdemeanor. I think you should also say, or who has whatever is prohibited financial interest. My suggestion would be that you have a definitional section defining prohibited financial interest, and that be there in the statute, and we strike as defined in regulations. And you just have a definition of that. And then for sub C, you also add the phrase, or who has a prohibited financial interest, period.
Oh, I don't think that does anything, Max. That makes it even worse, because then you wind up with absolutely no definition for, no way to define prohibited financial interest.
Well, you're going to have to do it in regs anyway.
Well, yeah, but you just struck the authority to define it in regs.
No, I'm saying we put it in the statute.
You just put it right in.
I want to put it, I say...
Well, what are you going to say is the prohibited financial interest?
What, basically what you have there, yeah. Put it in the statute.
You know, all they've done is
well, being convicted of a felony or a gambling misdemeanor is not a financial interest.
No. I thought that Diane was just reading how the regs define...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry.
I just would like to see that in the statute.
Oh,
that's
sure. That's fine.
And then in sub C, after misdemeanor, before the period, add, or who has a prohibited financial interest.
Right.
You're
getting this?
Okay.
And now, how would you define, Mr. Chairman, they probably want to work overnight on defining prohibited financial interest.
No, we're going to use the language that's already in regs.
I thought you said that you were going to have to add something.
Do we need more than that? What do you want as a prohibited financial interest?
Diane was just saying that she wants to add something.
Nobody heard what she said. What she said was, all it says is a prohibited financial interest in the regs.
It says, has a direct financial interest in the operation of the games or contests. Which makes sense for a municipality and a qualified organization. Doesn't that make sense for an operator? Yeah. We need something more than that.
Mr. Chairman, could we... my suggestion would be we deal with everything in this bill except for finally passing it out and this one amendment which they'll bring to us tomorrow.
We take up this issue. We should define best interest of the public, too.
Whose version? Yours or mine?
Okay, is there a member with the committee that you can work on that? That language overnight and work
if we can get it out tomorrow. I mean, we can get you the language. We'd like to get the bill out.
Wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, I would just suggest that I don't think any of us have a problem with this, that it's merely a matter of them coming up with language.
Yes.
That why don't we get rid of the bill, sign off on it. If anybody's curious, look it up tomorrow.
We're moving closer and closer to the age-old Representative Bussell. Representative Bussell finally got to the point as chair of this committee where at one time in the House Judiciary Committee we adopted a conceptual amendment to the Alaska Constitution. And I think we're getting close to that point here.
Conceptual amendment.
We adopted a conceptual amendment and said, well, we'll work out the language later, but let's move the bill out. This isn't quite that bad, but... I mean, we've made major changes.
But what did you do with it?
Okay, what this would say, so just so the amendment is clear, it's the present amendment. It would, in sub 2, it would say, has a prohibited financial interest in the operation of the activity. Period. In sub C, let me read that again, has a prohibited financial interest, no comma, in the operation of the activity, period. And said sub C, after misdemeanor, strike the period and say, or who has a prohibited financial interest, period.
But if prohibited, prohibited interest is going to be solely a direct interest, why don't we just say, has a direct financial interest?
That would solve so many problems if you just said direct financial interest.
Because that's what the prohibited is.
Yeah.
The prohibited financial interest is a direct interest.
That's what you
say,
has
a direct interest.
Mr. Chairman, my gut feeling is when their attorney and they have a chance to look at it carefully in the morning, not in the middle of the committee, they'll come up with a more precise definition.
As she said, it doesn't make sense for operators.
Give her a little time.
Okay, we will have the thing prepared. We won't move it out tonight. We won't sign it tonight. I don't want to do that either. If we haven't finalized, I don't want to be doing that. And... get the language to us, we'll do it on first thing in the morning. Mr. Greenberg?
Is it too late for the last thing?
Oh, my God. Actually, under the scenario that Mr. Lawson described earlier, we're talking about another house bill. It sounds to me like we're cleaning up space. I hadn't just heard that. So I don't see anything we can do on that anyway.
All we have to do is just move it out as is, and we're done with it.
We're talking about Mr. Bill.
The recall, I'm sure there'll be conversation. Okay, forget it.
Thank you so much for the patience on this. I know it's complicated and...
This committee has nothing to do with it.
Done good.
Sure you'll be glad you did.
Thank you.
I'm not, I just gave her the operator service day.